The title of my message today is A Happening Place. Amen. That's what I want to be a part of. Don't you say, well, I go to this church and nothing ever happens. I don't want to be there. I want to be part of a happening place. Amen. I want to be where we're doing something. Last week we worked our tail off. Man, early in the morning to late at night. But you know what? That's what I want to be a part of. I'd rather die like that. I'd rather die on that kind of day than die dead. Amen? We just did. No, I want to be part of a happening place. And that's what this church at Ephesus was. It was a happening place. We're going to look at the book of Ephesians. The author of this little book is the Apostle Paul. So who under the inspiration wrote this book? The Apostle Paul. Okay? Keep looking. So we know something already. How do we know he wrote the book? Did you know people argue about everything? There's people say he didn't write the book. Look, he mentions himself twice, verse 1 and chapter 3, verse 1. Look at it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Look at verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, say it with me, I who? Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So Paul wrote the book, and where was Paul when he wrote it? He was in prison. How do I know that? He was in prison in Rome when he wrote this letter. Because the Bible says so, and also Ephesians says so. It said it in verse 1 of chapter 3. It also says in Ephesians 4, 1, say it with me, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, help me here by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ. Amen? That's not, but keep going. Is there another part? There's a verse about him being in prison. That ain't it, but that's okay. That's my mistake. It's there. Trust me. There's several of them. 3:1 says it also. The book was written to the church at Ephesus. So who was this little book written to? It was written to this church at Ephesus. But it was also probably encouraged to be circulated to other churches as well. And we can get into this, but I'm not going to get off on it a whole lot. There weren't a lot of people named specifically in this letter. Like, say hi to Fred and old Sue. Say hi, Sue and Bill. He does that a lot in his different letters. He doesn't do that here. And that gives us the idea that it also, you know, could be used to circulate to other churches because they were growing like crazy in that area. And it would be something that people would just love to hear a letter from Paul inspired by the Lord. So we believe that. Keep looking. Some info on the church at Ephesus. And don't get bored with me here. I hope you don't. Where is Ephesus? Okay, it was in Western Asia Minor, which is located today in what is modern Turkey. It was the leading center. It was a leading center of the Roman Empire. So this was a huge place. Amen? Crazy. And so Paul is going there and going to preach the gospel in this place. He spent a little time here on his way back to Antioch. And I know you might care, why is he telling me this? Well, it's important. Hang in here with me, okay? He came here the first time on his way back from a missionary trip that he was on sharing the gospel. Look at Acts 18, verse 19. And he came to where? Say it with me. Ephesus. And he left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and he reasoned with the Jews. While they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he did what? Consented not. No, I can't right now. But bade them farewell by saying, I must by all means keep this feast that comes in Jerusalem. But I will return unto you again if God wills. And he sailed from Ephesus. Okay? And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. So Paul came to Ephesus on his second missionary journey from Antioch. But now let's keep moving. He really came here on his third missionary journey for big time real. Okay? On his third missionary journey, he spent 3 years in Ephesus. The Apostle Paul. How many have read your Bible and you know a little bit about the Apostle Paul? Say, see, yeah? Can you imagine any place this guy spends 3 years, say? Being burned up for Jesus. Amen? Excited, on fire for the Lord. The church spreading like wildfire. This is what happened at Ephesus. Many great things happened at Ephesus. And I want to look at several of them right quick. And we're making pretty good time, Raj. First of all, when he got to Ephesus back on this second trip where he plops it down for a while, he baptized a dozen of John the Baptist followers. And boy, I need you to listen. Come on, hang in here with me. Come on, here we go. He baptized a dozen of John the Baptist followers. Doesn't that sound weird? Say, what did John the Baptist do? Say it. He baptized people. So Paul comes to Ephesus and he baptizes a dozen of John the Baptist followers. Why? Look at the scripture. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, he came to where? Ephesus. That's our place. And before we get into the book, we've got to look at where we're going. Okay? And he found certain disciples. So he found some disciples. Some people that believed in God. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, this is sort of funny, we ain't heard. What they be in the Holy Ghost? Amen? Here these guys are trying to serve God, and they go, what you talking about? We ain't heard there's no Holy Ghost. And here's what happened. Keep looking. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They say they're baptized. We're baptized. We believe in God. But you haven't received the Holy Spirit. Who were you baptized in or under? What happened? And they said unto who? John's baptism. Now John the Baptist said stuff like this, didn't he? Repent. Did he say that? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at what? Hand. So he baptized unto repentance. Repent from your sin. Turn to the Lord. Okay? So they repented and baptized that away. But it's very interesting. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should do what? Come after him. Okay? They should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So John, see, these boys didn't have the benefit, obviously, of that day when Jesus came to John. And what did John say? Behold, say it with me, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is the one that comes after me, Jesus Christ. And so anyway, they were baptized by John, but not in Jesus' name. Okay? So when they heard this, say it with me. When they heard this, they were what? Now I'm going to park it here a second. Some of you struggle with being baptized. You say, well, I was baptized when I was a baby. I was, you know, a year old or 8 days old or whatever. You know, and that's great. I'm glad for you. Listen to me. But were you baptized? Did you know? And obviously the answer is you didn't. Did you know that you were baptized in Jesus' name, that you were believing in Jesus? It's so important that we get baptized when we know. And when we're confronted with something, we ought to follow through with obedience. Does that make sense? Say, be a Christ follower. This isn't going to get you to heaven, but it's the right thing to do. And you know what? These guys, you can't find... Could you find hardly a better guy to baptize you than John the Baptist? Yes or no? No! But they heard this was the way they should do it, and this is what happened. And they willingly submitted to baptism. When they heard this, they were baptized, say it with me, in the name of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So keep looking. And when Paul laid his hands on them then, the Holy Ghost came on them. They spoke with tongues. They prophesied. And all the men that did this were about how many? 12. So that's what Paul did. That's the happening place, wasn't it? He gets there, boom! People are getting baptized in Jesus' name. I want you to see some other things that happened, and we're really going to have to fly. Here we go, buddy. Paul taught in the hall of Tyrannus while he was in Ephesus. You might think, what does that matter? Well, it matters a lot. I want you to see it. Acts 19:8. When Paul went in there, he taught in the synagogue. He spoke boldly for the space of 3 months at this one synagogue, disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, that's old English talk, it means this. When people got so hard-headed and stubborn and ugly with him, listen, and they didn't believe, but started speaking evil of the way before the multitude, say it with me. He what? Say it with me. He departed from them. He separated the disciples, disputing daily in the what? School of who? Who says you can't have church in a high school? Amen? Come on. That's a happening place. Come on, let's praise the Lord. We can have church in a high school. Amen? That's it. He went to a school, started having church, and people started trusting Jesus. The word of the Lord spread like wildfire at this place when Paul got there. This continued by the space of 2 years, so watch it. All they which dwelt in who? Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and who? Greeks or Gentiles. It's crazy. Wildfire. The word of God spread. Let me tell you something. We at Fellowship Church can make a difference in our community. Did you know that? Not just Englewood, Northport, Port Charlotte, Venice, television now and down in Lee County, and I get calls from LaBelle, Arcadia, because we talk the same English as those people. Amen? Which is good. Amen? You know, I'm saying we can have an impact. We can reach our community for Christ. We got to keep thinking that way. This is bigger than my head can think. I tend to think small sometimes. But God can shake up our community for Himself. You agree with that? You believe that? Amen? Come on. Let's praise the Lord. I know I got you praising. This is great. I'm excited about this stuff. Now listen, unusual miracles occurred there. You know, and we're not out to repeat what was done in Ephesus. I know God has special things He does in special places, and this was a special place for sure. But I love this kind of stuff. Unusual miracles occurred there. Acts 9:11. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. I want you to see this. Watch it. But I'm going to say something you might not like. So that from his body, Paul, were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs. So from Paul were sent to sick people handkerchiefs and aprons and cloth. And the diseases departed out of these folks. It seems like when they received this cloth, and evil spirits went out of them. Did y'all just see that? Say, amen? But now listen. In case you're watching Christian television sometime, and people are sending out their little cloths, that's where they got that from, right here. But I don't know where they got the 99-95 part. Are you hearing me? Okay? We need to be careful when we see God do something somewhere and think that we can make God do that. Amen? Or God did it, and then we pull this scripture out and God did that. Does God heal? God heals. I believe God heals. But if I touch something and you send it to you and you and I agree that you've got cancer and your cancer's going to be gone, you know there's a good chance it isn't going to be gone? Did you know that? Say. Did you know there's a good chance every one of you in this room listening to me, you're going to die? There's a really good chance that's going to happen. And there's a good chance that you're going to die of something. Is that true or just dumb? Say. That sounds like common sense to me. The point is, God does supernatural things, God does miracles, but we can't just up and do something and print something and make something and send it out through the mail and all of a sudden God don't do it. It just doesn't work that way. I wish it did, don't you? Say. Y'all listening? Little ugly. But this is where it happened, right here at Ephesus. This is a great place. Strange events took place here too. Boy, you need to listen. Set up. This is something. Watch it. Now this is funny. This is funny. I love this part of the Bible. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, they were exorcists. So Jews who are not Christians or believers in Christ per se, watch it, listen very carefully. They took upon them to call them which had evil spirits or devils in them. This all happened in Ephesus. And they called on these evil spirits in the name of who? The Lord who? And they said this, "We adjure you by Jesus," funny part, "whom Paul preaches." Sort of strange, isn't it? Calling on somebody you don't know and somebody else has been talking about and trying to get a devil to come out. It doesn't work that well when you do it that way. Let's keep looking. What happened? There were certain of these guys. There were seven sons of one Sceva. Seven of them. A Jew who was a chief priest of that area which did so. So these seven sons were doing this. Come out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Amen? And here's what the evil spirit said out of this man. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, say it with me. This is funny. Jesus I know. And Paul, I know, but who in the heck are you? You don't want to be casting out devils that way, amen? Amen? Sort of funny. I read every time it's sort of funny. But this gets funnier. What happened? What happened? Are you in Christ, by the way, or not? Are you calling on a God that Gary knows? Say, do you know the Lord today? Amen? Yes or no? See, that's the thing. You need to be in Christ. Don't you worry about me being in Christ. You worry that you're in Christ. Amen? All right? Call on somebody you know. And so they're calling on somebody they don't know and trying to do these special exorcisms on people they don't even know Jesus, and it's just a mess. And so the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them. Plain English, beat the snot out of them and prevailed against them. So they fled out of the house. What? And wounded. That's funny, ain't it? Like I said, that's the kind of church I ought to be a part of. Amen? A happening place. Ephesus was a happening place. Wonderful things happened there. Sorcerers were converted there. This is a couple of these passages get a little long, but we're going to read them. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them. Fear fell because the power of God started moving in a place called Ephesus, which was a wicked place, by the way. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came, and they confessed Jesus, and they showed their deeds. Listen to this very carefully. Many of them which also used curious arts, devil worshippers, people demon-possessed, people that were magicians, astrologers, soothsayers, they brought their books together. They burned them before all men. Amen? You ever been to something like that where people get saved and they burn some mess that they used to have in their life and they burned it and they got rid of it? You ever, before you were a Christian and you became a Christian, you got rid of some crap you didn't need anymore? Can I see some hands in the house? Amen? That's where this comes from. It's good preaching right here. Some things that you had before you became a Christian, you don't need them anymore. You listening, yes or no? Some things you used to do, they're just not appropriate for a child of God. Does that make sense? And that's what happened. And they burned all this stuff. But look at it. This was a place, a huge city, a place of tremendous idol worship. And they counted the price of all the stuff they burned and found it. Say it with me. 50,000 pieces of what? And some would say, why'd you burn all that stuff? It's worth a lot of money. Because it's no good for your life. Amen? Get rid of the mess. So mightily grew the word of God in Ephesus, and it prevailed. Keep flying. Here we go. People actually began to riot in this city. Can you say riot? Help me here. Riot. This city began rioting. There was a riot because Paul preached the gospel here and the church was started. I'm not trying to get a riot in Englewood, but you know what I am trying to get? I do want people, their lives to change. I'd love for some bar owners and people like that to call me and say, Pastor, I'm mad as a hornet at you because several people in your church, they don't come anymore. Amen? You listening or not? I'd love some man to call me and say, you know what? I'm mad and a hornet at you, Pastor, because there was a woman I was sleeping with. She's been going to fellowship. She got saved. She didn't want to see me ever again or have anything to do with me again. She's going back to her husband. Are you listening to me? Say, that's the kind of church I want. If that causes a riot, praise God. That's what was happening. People were getting right with God. We're going to study this little book over the next... It's pretty good stuff. The kind of church I want to be a part of. Amen? Lots of scriptures here. There were, at the same time, there arose no small stir about that way for a certain man named Demetrius. He was a silversmith who made a lot of this mess. He made silver shrines for Diana. By the way, one of the largest theaters in the world. It's one of the seven wonders of the world where they worship this Diana god and Jupiter. It's part of your history. You can check it out. They brought no small gain unto this craftsman. He made all this stuff, whom he called together with workmen of like occupation, a lot of these guys, and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. This is how we make a living, selling this mess, peddling this junk. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost all throughout Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned people away, you know, from worshiping God, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Is there any gods made with hands, yes or no? No. No gods made with hands. And this was just turning that world upside down. Are y'all feeling it or not? So that not only this, our craft's in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised. People are now despising that place. And her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Okay? Keep looking. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath. They cried out saying, great is Diana, etc. And the whole city was filled with confusion, having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel. They rushed with one accord on them and into the theater and brought them before this large crowd. And when Paul would have entered into the theater with the people, the disciples said, don't go in there, they're going to kill you, boy. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring that he would not adventure himself there. There's a riot going on. Some therefore cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused. The more part knew not wherefore they were coming together. They didn't know what was going on, but it's a riot, it's a fight, we're going. Amen? And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, with all one voice, the space of 2 hours, they started crying out for 2 hours, great is Diana, great is Diana. This place is in an uproar because this man Paul is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and lives are being changed. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, calm down, you men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesus is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet, don't do anything rashly, boys, calm down. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. We've got to get this thing in order. Somebody's going to get hurt. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open. You can take him to court. There are deputies. Let him in plead one to another. Do it that way, guys. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. Not like this. Don't do it this way, where the city and everybody's going to get hurt. For we're in danger to be called in question from Rome for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account for this crazy thing that's going on before us. And when he had thus spoken, he did what? Dismissed the assembly. Did you get totally wasted right there? That's wild, isn't it? This is a happening place, and we're moving on now. That's what this was, a happening place. Did y'all feel it or not this morning? Say. The church at Ephesus, you think they were having church as usual, yes or no? No. People coming to Jesus. People getting their lives straightened out with God. There's a riot going on in people's hearts. Things are happening. I remember when I became a Christian, a riot started happening in my heart. I used to cuss God, GD this, and foul language, F this, and all this mess came out of my mouth all the time. And then there started to be a battle going on. A riot's a good thing sometimes. Amen? Say. And so, how many of you ever had a riot inside of you because Jesus came in and the Holy Spirit started doing something in you? Amen? That's what was happening in this place. It was a happening place for Jesus. Roll it, Raj. In the book of Ephesians, when we look at this book, next week we're going to start looking at it. You don't see any particular problem or error being discussed. A lot of Paul's writings, there would be church problems he would discuss, or there might be a false doctrine that's crept in that he would discuss. Not so here. One of the last things Paul said, however, to the church at Ephesus before he left was, say that part with me. Beware of what? False teachers. Say it one more time. Beware of false teachers. In Acts 20, he determined to sail to Ephesus later on. This is after the church had started. Now he's gone. He's going to see them one last time. He hastens for them to come and meet him. And they did. Some of the elders from the church came and met him. And he talked to them. He said, there's going to be a problem with the church, guys. And he warned them. In Acts 20:29, he says, false teachers, say it with me, are going to come from where? The outside, in. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Beware of false teachers coming from without. But then he also says this in verse 30. Say it with me, false teachers will also come from where? The inside. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So, why was this book written? I believe it was written, and we're going to study it the next several weeks, to help us with our doctrine, with our thinking. Amen? So that we can be strong in the faith. And by the way, this stuff from without and this stuff from within is called church today. Amen? Say. And I'm not going to get off on this, but I'm just going to say it straight up. If I start talking about our government and making you think that they infected people with AIDS, if our government calls 9/11, I hope all of you leave. Are you listening to me? Say. Are you listening to me? What I'm saying is, and if I start talking about a theology that came out of the 60s or something, you need to ask me, Clark, why don't you get your theology from the Bible? Are you hearing me? Yeah, that's crazy. These are honest questions. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to say, see, false teaching comes from without, but it also comes from within. Much of the church today is not preaching Jesus Christ. It might preach it some, but then we're preaching all this other stuff and people are having a hard time finding Jesus and all the mess. Does that make sense? Beware. That's what this book is teaching. Amen? Be diligent, and you're never going to know unless you're in the Bible, unless you're reading the Bible. Well, I'll just listen to you, preacher. Well, you better get in the Word. Get in the Scriptures. Now listen to what Jesus said about this little church. We get a little glimpse into what this church might be facing and why this letter was written, because of what Jesus said after He had resurrected. And John the Apostle, the Beloved, is cast out. He's on the Isle of Patmos. And actually, Jesus Christ appears to him. You can read it. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Revelation. And listen to what he said to the Apostle John concerning this church. He actually names this church in that book, Revelation. Look what he says. It might give us a little glimpse about this church. He said, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, Jesus speaking, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. There's a lot to be said there. I know your works, I know your labor, your patience. He says, I know you guys, this church, let them know that your labor, your work, your patience, how you cannot bear them which are what? Evil. You have tried them which say they're what? Apostles, and has found them out. So was the church at Ephesus being diligent with the teaching? Yes or no? Yes, they were being diligent. You've borne, you've had patience for my name's sake, you've labored, you've not fainted. This is what he tells about this phenomenal church. But then he gives us a clue. Maybe their problem. A problem we have. Every church has it. However, Jesus said of this church that they had lost the what? Vibrancy of their love for the Lord. Look at the scripture. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, church at Ephesus. You have left your first love. The Apostle Paul alludes to it as well. Quickly. He alludes to it as well. Love is obviously on the mind of Paul when he writes this little book that we're going to look at over the next few weeks. Okay? Love is mentioned in this little book how many times? 9 times. When Paul wrote the New Testament, he mentioned love in all his 13 books how many times? He mentioned it how many times in Ephesus? Must be a what? Problem. A little red flag ought to go up for us. So without any doubt, the Holy Spirit was on to something that this church lacked. Jesus said it, Paul's alluding to it, and they're struggling with it. Do you think churches struggle with loving people? Yes or no? You think churches struggle with loving Jesus Christ? Amen? And being on. Do you think if we keep our focus, and that's what we started this church on, we love Jesus and we love people. Would you say it with me? We love Jesus and we love people. Don't you think if we keep our focus like that, we can do great things for the Lord? Amen? And Satan's going to come against us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got to quit. But Satan's going to come against us when we have that kind of zeal and passion. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Did you see some people this morning that got in Jesus in this message say? Did you see some of them? They were baptized in His name. Man, they had lives that were craziness, but they got saved. They trusted Jesus. It affected their lifestyle, the way they're living. They were in Christ. Are you in Christ? Is my question this morning. And we missed a good bit of the message, and we'll pick it up some next week. But are you in Christ? Is my question to you this morning. I want you to see this screen. I did. I did this, and I did that, and I did this at that church, and I did this there, and I was baptized, and I was this, and I was that, and I. You ever heard people say that? Say, I don't need, I'm this, and I gave this money, and I got a little bug, and I went to Sunday school. I ain't going to get you anywhere. Nothing, zero. I ain't going to get you there, babe. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Or is it I? Here, pop it up. Here we go. Here's what you need and I need. We need to make sure it's done. You need that in if you're getting in. Amen? You need that in. You need to be in Christ. It's not good enough for you to be alone by yourself. It's not good enough for you to rely on your own good works. Y'all, does that make any sense to you? Say, you want to be a soldier in the Lord's army, you've got to get in Jesus. Amen? You've got to get in Him. And that's what made this church powerful. People were really born again. They were really truly saved and on fire for Jesus. So here's my question. Is your life a happening place for Jesus? Is your life a happening place for Jesus today? Is your life a happening place? You might say, well, how do I know that? Well, look. Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? Well, I was baptized by John or by Billy Bob somewhere. Are you in Jesus? Are you a believer? Can you say that? I believe in Jesus. Pastor, shut up. I believe in Him. Are you there? Are you there? I believe in Him. I believe in His death on the cross. I believe in His resurrection. I do not believe in me. I do not believe in some preacher. I do not believe in this, that, or the other. I believe in Jesus. That's the end of the deal. Are you in? If you're not, you need to run to Him. Are you in Christ? Is your life a happening place for Jesus? Ask yourself this question. Is the Holy Spirit's working evident in your life? Some of you probably think I'm crazy. But I think I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't understand why he'd use somebody pitiful like me. But he likes to show himself off and take the ugly and the rough things of life and do something with us. Amen? Can you talk to somebody? Could you say, I know God, the Holy Spirit's been working in my life. I used to think this way, act this way, say these things. I was this and now I'm this. Can you say that? Yes or no? It's not about falling down on the floor and flopping. You hearing me? Is God working in your life? The Holy Spirit. Is your life a happening place? Is there a riot taking place in your life? Here's how you can know if your life's a happening place for Jesus. Is there something going on? You ought to be frustrated. You ought to be having some issues in your life that the Holy Spirit's putting His red hot finger on and you're fighting it. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Amen? Satan and God going at it in your life. That's a happening place. If you're in Christ, there should be an uproar from the devil. Amen? Are you in Christ today? That's my question. Are you what? In. Man, I want my life to be a happening place for Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Amen. For the Word of God. For the Word of God.